Lime, duh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, shit. Let's do it again, baby. Oh, my God. I don't know if I can do the intro today. Hello. Whoa. 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 Woo. Oh, my God.
And after that, I'm going straight to hell. Enjoy.
We're not starting
show.
This over. Welcome to the Comedians Wrestling Podcast, the podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I am your host, the host with the most, possibly COVID. Oh, man, I'm dying.
With the most viral lung infection.
Oh, this intro God. Brought to you by COVID.
Oh, my God. Dan Black, a.k.a. Donsky Blackamora, Papa Oat Milk, the Patreon Don. You know what I am. I'm doing it all, baby. Oh, man. Woo, I actually have to breathe for a second. Hold on.
Please do.
All right. Coming at you like Cleopatra, baby.
Gabba, wee, gabba, gabba.
This girl, she's mine. And huff, huff, hum. Damn, she's fine.
Stupid.
A little unnecessary. Welcome to the Comedians Wrestling Podcast. Man, as you could tell, I mean, I'm not even going to bother redoing the intro this episode because it's not going to go better. If you can't tell, I am sick. If you've known, if you've been paying attention to the Patreon episode last week, it's when I was sick and attacked. The cow title was taken from me by the new Comedians Wrestling champion, Mr. Jason Shapiro.
Sierra Hotel, Echo, Bravo, India, Romeo, Oscar, Shapiro.
So anyway, I'm recovering. As a matter of fact, and also, by the way, Chebs being the new champion, we're going to have former cow champion Adam Letterman, the drafter, the creator of the Cal Money in the Bank briefcase, who is responsible for the contract that is in the case. I'm going to speak to him later on in this episode about the legality of the Jason Shapiro cash-in. If you don't know what I'm talking about, by the way, go to the Comedians Wrestling Facebook group. You can see Jason documented his flight to L.A. He flew to Los Angeles as a stopover. Kind of fooled me into the fact that we were going to maybe hang out during his layover, considering I haven't seen him for 10 months. We would get some socially distanced in and out. But instead, what he did was he stole the briefcase from Nick Tulo's house at the end of the last episode. And to Tulo, I just want to give a quick apology. Tulo's actually here today. I haven't introduced him. But because I thought at the end of the last episode that he was just kind of dicking around and leaving his post, which he does do sometimes. But actually, it happened during the last podcast. We know that now because of Jason's antics. So join the Facebook group, Comedians Wrestling Facebook group, and you could see that stuff. Now Shebs is in Hawaii on Ava Beach, I believe, with the Ava Beach Bad Boys. He has a crew with the title completely protected, and I don't know, he's acting like a tough guy, but in the meanwhile, flying to Hawaii is extremely difficult. They're on extreme COVID lockdown. So, yeah, I mean, is what it is. So, Jason is the champion, and we'll see what we do about it. Like, second I can get to Hawaii, maybe do something about it, maybe I will. But as of right now, I'm trying to do, you know, I still consider myself, maybe I'm not the champion, but the responsible era champion. And I'm sick right now, and I don't think going to Hawaii would be a smart thing to do. That being said, I'm sick. We don't know. I don't know what I have, but while we were about to record, I was texted my COVID results. So I figured on the pod, let's find out if I have COVID. We'll do that in a couple minutes. First thing I want to say, though, is if you're listening to this podcast and either you enjoy the content we make or you feel bad for me, go over to patreon.com/comedianswrestling and support this podcast. Get access to our bonus episodes. This week, every Friday morning, me and Tulo put out an episode that's AEW NXT centric. And pretty excited about the AEW show this week that we're going to get to watch, even though it's pushed for sports, which always gets me a little triggered, you know?
Yeah, but it shouldn't, because now we watch NXT from 8 to 10 and then AEW from 10 to 12. Boom, 4 hours.
Okay. As long as there's no Karrion Kross, I'll check it out. Got to be one of the worst talents going in wrestling right now. Anyway. So before we get into my COVID results, let's introduce... Also, I just wanted to bring up the 9 to 5 episode. I'm getting messages from you guys. Listen, with all the title situation and me being sick, I don't have the energy to record for 8 hours straight. I'm just being honest with you guys. So the 9 to 5 episode will happen. I think we'll do it as a early 2021 treat. You know what I mean? I think it'll be more of like a New Year's as opposed to a Christmas present. It'll be more of a kickoff 2021. But I think 2020, that actually feels good to me, man. Like, let's get out of this 2020. You know what I mean? and then let's start talking about wrestling for 8 hours straight. So more details on that coming up. I had stuff planned, but then I got knocked out. These guys know. You heard me. But what I will do next week will be our last episode of the year, I believe. Mm-hmm. And so on that episode, what I will be bringing is my 2020 list. So I'll bring you my Vincey Claus. Danny Claus is coming, and I'll be giving my list of 2020. Who knows? Maybe Jinder Mahal will be number one again. which, by the way, I stick by making Jinder Mahal my wrestler of like 2017, because I remember what my logic was. My logic was he'll never have a year like that again. Ever. And I was so right.
I remember listening to that episode live, and which you can go back and listen to. We should actually I'm going to repost that episode on the Facebook group and on my Twitter. But I mean, wow. I think I remember that so vividly because I just yelled, what? Did he? What? Jinder Mahal? Yeah. The best wrestler?
He had like a 6-month title run, including beating Randy Orton. It was insane. And people actually were cool with it too. People were cool with it.
You know? I mean, yeah, it was just so wild.
The man was punching above.
I don't think he even put the Miz on that list, and Miz was like IC holder for 3 straight years.
No, Miz didn't make it that year. Also, last thing before I introduce the room, even though you know Tulo's already here, give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. And write a wrestler in your review who's one of your guys, and we will give you a shout out on the show. So right now, by the way, we have one, which is Neek Rocca. Okay, didn't write your real name in there. Neekrocka. Right? What'd you say? Neek?
I thought you were I to be honest.
You thought it was Nike?
No, I thought you were it was spelled NIC and you were confused and were pronouncing it Neek.
No.
Does
no,
it work
no.
backwards? Is the opposite way? Cause that's
just, I don't know. He didn't write his name. But hey, listen. He says Sammy Guevara and John Silver are one of his guys. Wow. Congratulations.
Neek man.
John Silver's guy, we talked about it. I stick by that. I want the John Silver physique, but I think this COVID is going to push me back quite a bit. Anyway, you heard him already. Nick Tulo, the supermarket in the house. What up, Tulo?
Yo, what up? 5:04 p.m. It's your boy, Tiptoe Tulo.
Okay, what's up? And also, he's a nasty boy. Nasty Newman, what up?
How about it?
Let's be clear, that's Eastern Standard Time. By
Eastern
way.
Standard.
People didn't care. Listen. I think we should just get right into my COVID results.
Yeah,
right?
Let's do it.
Is there any other pods out there reading live COVID results on the air? So here's the deal. I want to just give you. Okay, what do you guys would you like to guess? Too low? You think I'm positive?
100% had COVID or have it still.
Okay.
I say negative.
Can I lock that in?
You want to lock that in?
Yeah, 100%.
We can lock that in. Newman, you do I have COVID?
No, I say negative. Lock it
negative.
In.
Wow.
Okay. Wow. All right. Let's.
What do you think?
Can you lock my?
Oh, I think it's definitely positive. I felt like complete trash. Phil, would you like to guess from the booth?
Positive. Final answer.
Wow. Lock it in or no?
Lock it in.
Now, just so you guys know, between locking it in and not locking it in, there's no difference. Okay. I'm clicking on my results. It's bringing me to a page. All right. Now I need to type in my name. And a last name. A date of birth is required here.
Yeah. You know, anyone else getting your
this is insane.
Access to your results?
Are you guys ready for my COVID results?
Are you ready?
Sorry, this information did not match. These guys are telling me that my birthday is not my birthday.
Riveting. The suspense.
All right, are you guys ready for the results?
Yeah.
I am either negative or positive for the coronavirus. And I have the results in hand.
I'm going to throw up.
I know the answer. And I think it'll surprise some of you, but I think it won't surprise others. I'm looking at it right now, and while I knew this might be the case, it's hard to see yet easy to see at the same time, really. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I would say that when it comes down to it, if I have coronavirus or I do not, my test results for corona are positive.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Thank you.
I want to sanitize that mic.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. terrific. So now it's confirmed that I took a Z-Pack for no reason. All right, everybody. So I have coronavirus. Now, by the way, jokes aside, even though there's no jokes happening here, is this – I'll tell you what, guys. I was tested negative. I must have gotten this. I tested negative on Sunday, and then I got sick on Wednesday. So – negative tests don't mean shit.
Well, it was too early. You probably had it, but it was too early to detect. And then 3 days later.
I was tested like 3 or 4 days before that also. You know?
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you got tested on Wednesday and it was negative, or Sunday and it was negative, then you could have had it in that day, and it doesn't show up until like 3 days later, four days later.
Have you lost smell or taste or any weird things? Really?
So, Yeah.
Do you have any superpowers, possibly?
I do have a couple superpowers. It's very odd.
Interesting.
Yes. I'm going to keep those to myself because I've seen what happens in those X-Men movies. You know, you get caught. Even though you're more special, people still treat you like a freak, which I don't appreciate. But anyway, I'm pretty close to not being contagious anymore based on it, based on just timing. But, yeah. So I'm just saying, if I could, you know, if anyone's right now listening to this and you're thinking about not going home, I mean, I've been pretty fucking isolated. I isolated for a commercial, shot it, went through all the PPE you could possibly have, you know, but was just around people and got it. Like, and I was around a lot of people who tested negative. So I'm just saying, like, guys, don't put mom and dad in danger. Like someone like me, I already talked to my doctor. He's like, you're going to be completely fine. Don't worry about it. You know what I mean? But God, don't go around elderly people. Just don't do it. It's not worth it. This thing is surging, man. You know?
I think you probably have to like contact some authorities, right? They have to do the tracing and tell people.
I got to go. I have to like register. There's like a thing I got to do here. I don't know. Yeah. So anyway, once we're done recording, I'm going to do that. But the other thing is that it takes a really long time to get your results back. I got my test on Saturday.
Where do you go? I go to Dodger Stadium. I get them like 2 days later.
Dodger Stadium is, when was the last time you went?
Oh yeah, like a month ago.
Yeah, back then it was fine. Now there's no appointments. I happened to eke out, I was trying to get tested since Wednesday. The earliest I'd get was Saturday. There was one drive up appointment at UCLA, which is like 45 minutes away. I drove there so sick. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I'm chilling in the parking lot. No one, I'm positive. People are in line, windows down, arm out the window, in a COVID test line. Oh man! Anyway, let's talk wrestling. I'm fine. I don't. My cough sounds bad. The cough's nothing, man. I breathed completely fine. The cough is not the problem. The problem was I had temperature and the chills. Like that was killing me. Yeah. You know. And now my temperature's completely broke and it's gone.
I don't want to leave my house.
You know what the crazy thing about fevers is? Yeah. Like, I had a fever last year, like last January.
Yeah. What'd you get? More cowbell?
I got more cowbell.
Yeah. And did it go down?
No. But so basically what happens is your brain like sets your body's like thermostat higher. Yeah. And then because your brain then thinks, oh, the body's supposed to be 102 degrees, but it's only 97. That's why you get the chills, because you feel colder than you're supposed to be. And then as your body temperature goes up, that's when the fucking sweats and all that starts.
Brutal. I mean, describing sickness is like almost the equivalent of like, there's a couple things people don't give two shits about when you talk about it, and everyone, you could listen to this. This is a little okay. No one cares about your dreams. Don't describe your dreams to people. You know what I mean? The only dreams they want to hear about is if it involves you fucking them, right? You're like, oh yeah, you fucked me in your dream. That's pretty cool.
You send the text that's like, hey, what's up? Long time no talk. Thought I'd just let you know you were in my dream last night. And they're like, oh wow, well, you know. Well.
But that's like a known fuckboy move.
Yeah. That's true.
The king of fuckboys, apparently.
So. So my dream is so there's that. And then so dreams, no one wants to hear about your dreams. And then no one wants to hear about your jet lag ever. Uh-huh. Just no one cares that you just landed. You're actually on New York time. Like no one gives a shit. No one cares. No one's doing the math with you. No one understands how bad it is for you. And they just don't care. Yeah. Don't stop describing your jet lag to people. Also, it's pretentious jet lag. You know,
there's two more. If we can add to this list, there's two more. It's your weekend plans. Right? No one gives a shit about that.
Yeah.
And then how you got here from where you were. Like, I don't want to hear the roads you took. I don't want to hear how long it took.
To Cahuenga.
Yeah.
Down to the five.
It's like, what are you telling me? Like, I don't care how you got here. Or like, literally how you got here. Like,
so funny.
I made a left and then, you know, it was a little pack. So I cut down that little, it's like.
Also, no one cares. Unfortunately, no one cares about if you almost died, right? Unfortunately, sometimes those stories can be good, but like the I almost died, you know, those are always like, because the thing is, whatever our brains do, whatever shitty about our brains is like, when you say like I almost died, people are like, all right, you didn't almost die.
Yeah, okay.
Right? No one believes you. They're like, I want you dead or that's it. Like, you got to be dead or you're either dead or you're not dead. I'm sorry.
You're not even bleeding. Like, what are you talking about?
And then I think describing how sick you were is also in that list, right? I feel boring myself talking about this, but the only reason I was doing it is because it's COVID. That's the only reason, you know.
It's different because everybody wants to know, like, what's it like? Because you never had it. Like, everybody's gotten a cold before. Everybody's gotten a stomach virus, like, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah. So anyway, I detailed. Tulo, it sounds like you're about to go into some jet lag or something. Just hold it back. But so the thing is, I would say is that I detailed my whole experience with COVID on the Dan Black Attack podcast on Regular Guy News yesterday because we were talking about that. So I talk about what it's like to have it, you know. I think it's really interesting the position I'm in. You can go listen to that episode's out right now. It's called Dan's Got the Rona, I believe it's called. And because I think most people will be okay from it, But it's kind of this thing where you're like, some people are fine. My friend had it. He's older than I am. He's got some pre-existing conditions. He was sick for like way less amount of time than I am. I'm going on a week right now, you know? I got hit like bad with this shit, you know? And then my sister-in-law had it. She had a little headache for a day. That was it, you know?
Well, you might have a different mutation or something than they do.
You think I got the UK variant?
Well, that one just spreads faster. And I know that there was a mutation here that was also just like, it was more contagious.
Didn't you say the lady on set is from the UK?
Yeah, but she lived here for 3 years. Don't be xenophobic too long. Don't be xenophobic too long.
The UK variant, it like runs around, like in between, like comes out of different doors, like Benny Hill.
It comes out of different doors.
Yeah, it like runs into one door and then Yakety Sax is playing.
Yeah, it goes off one end of the screen and pops out the other side of the screen. That's the thing. That's the thing about those UK strains of COVID is that, you know, I mean, a lot of hijinks.
It's going in hijinks. One cell, out the other cell, real fast.
Oh man! Anyway, by speaking of cells, this is a wrestling podcast. I don't think we've touched wrestling at all, but frankly, if you're looking for someone who's only gonna break it down for you, go. I think there's a lot of other terrible, terrible podcasts out there. But I do have a lot to say about wrestling this week. This was a pretty interesting wrestling week, actually, weirdly. Like, Raw was straight jabroni status. I couldn't tell because I was sick watching it, but I was also like, man, this is making me not feel any better, this Raw. You know, nothing fun about this. But TLC, I thought, was a blast. As a matter of fact, I rewatched a lot of it. So I think we should start with this. Bray Wyatt was burned alive by Randy Orton.
Hell yeah.
So I rewatched this match because I just had to. First off, I have so many thoughts, but the first thought about this match is like, do you think WWE does themselves any favors? And I realize that what they do, and I don't really know any workaround for it, because I know the only other show that we always compare WWE to is SNL, which, oh, by the way, since I've been sick, I've just been watching TV. I watched SNL this weekend. Yikes. I mean, I couldn't believe how unfunny it was. I don't know. Anyway, I hate to be the guy who's like, SNL's is unfunny. I tend to like be more of an SNL apologist because at least they're having fun. But I couldn't even follow what the stuff was like. These sketches were about. I didn't even know what the premises were.
That's how I felt about Kristen Wiig.
Yeah. I'm like, how do you? Anyway, okay. So irrelevant. But SNL, like SNL, they're they're making the show down to the wire. So my point is that they had this match, which is like a Firefly Inferno match. No one had any idea what it was. As a matter of fact, it wasn't even called that, I don't think, till SmackDown, right?
Yeah. Right.
So you're like, why?
Not even, I think, after on Twitter, on a Saturday.
Because like Adam Pearce is in the back. He's hammering down the details. He's like, what kind of stipulations are we going to have? Get the contracts. Right.
You mean kayfabe Adam Pearce or real Adam Pearce?
Probably both.
Because that is exactly what I'm saying. Is like my guess is how this goes down is they have the match and then Vince is like, let's make it like randomly. He's like, let's make it a Firefly Inferno match, like, right? And then they just like book it without doing any advertising for it. But I'm like, fuck, man, like that's so shitty to put this show on without telling the people properly that you're gonna make such a high production value match.
Yep.
You know?
It seems like you're in it right now. I mean, judging by your background, you are literally in the Firefly Inferno match. So what is it like, actually?
No, Dan, this is actually not. No, this is this is a live map of the United States of America.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
Sorry.
It just looked, you know what it was? It felt like someone from in the back was like, yo, look what I just found. And it was the swirly things. And then he like did a display. And he's like, these go up in flames.
I love that. And there's a like, guy just digging through what they have in the back. Like, what can we use for this show?
Like, oh, or like he just like found it on like eBay, like from China or something. And he's like, look at these things. They light up and they swirl around. This would be crazy. Let's use it for the Bray match. And then Bray's
like, that was my question. They got a fire guy.
They got a fire guy.
Yeah, is it the same as the pyro guy? I mean, I just gotta say that match was fucking amazing.
Amazing.
Like, I fucking loved it. I rewatched it. I was
whole pay per view.
Like, no, this is like this kind of shit that you're like, oh my god, like AEW could never do this. The level of detail here is so good. I'm like, this is so, and it's good. This is the stuff we want out of WWE. Like that Thunderdome is gorgeous. Like, like the Thunderdome when they put on a match like that. It's not really – I'm not sure how doable it is if with a live crowd, you know? So it's cool if WWE is going to be like, the Thunderdome does things that you would never see before, which awesome. We've seen a couple things like that, and this is one of it. I'm just saying from a marketing standpoint, it's like, man, get it out there that you're going to have a match where one guy's going to light a guy on fire to death. Like, let everybody know this is going down,
right? That should have been how the match ended. Like, it should have been like, burn the live match. And they're like, what? You're going to burn somebody alive? That's crazy.
Yeah, that is true. Bill it like a burned alive match and then just start putting all over the world like, yo, someone's going to die in this match.
You buried alive matches. I mean, we saw AJ get buried alive on national TV. It's the same thing.
Huge misstep, yeah. Because like imagine like a UFC style promo where like a tail of the tape, and then it's like at the end of this match, someone's going to be burned alive.
Yeah,
people casual fans would turn it, tune in. Non fans, it would pass your Witowski test or whatever it's called. What's the name of the test? Your friend? It's a casual.
The Witowski test.
The Witowski test.
What'd you call it? Witowski.
Witowski. Yeah, Mike Witowski.
That's pretty good.
That's like McMahon's razor.
Yeah.
Witowski's razor.
The McClunky test.
Oh, McClunky.
Well, you know what? We kind of got a hint of it. If I can be a WWE apologist for a second, they did do that scene on Raw.
Shame.
Okay.
Where he burned like the metal bin, according to.
Yeah.
Definitely wasn't wood.
His egg smoker.
Well, I'll say this.
I'm a thick boy down low.
I'll say that quick, but I what I want to say is, okay, speaking of kayfabe, you were talking about Adam Pearce. What is Randy Orton's prep, like in kayfabe, what's his prep for a Firefly Inferno match? Like
In kayfabe, it's the same prep that Randy Orton in kayfabe does every
couple
match.
Push-ups?
He holds his hand over a candle. Yeah. Until he can't anymore, which is like a really long time.
That's when he gets ready to go.
Yeah, he just puts his hand on it, and he's just like staring straight forward, sweating, not moving, not blinking. And then I hear voices, and he goes through the fucking curtain.
All right, now we got to talk about that's it. He doesn't even work out.
No.
That's how he gets his muscles. Can we just talk about that RKO? So would that RKO be – I think that is an RKO that belongs in discussion for one of the best RKOs. Like, I put this RKO, and on a man on fire RKO, that's got to be up there with the Rollins one. That's got to be up there with the Evan Bourne one. Those are like the two best ones, right? That was because even though I kind of saw it coming, I guess, but. Just the fact that he's on fire, he runs into the ring and Randy RKOs him while he's on fire. I mean, come on. It's like perfection. It was so fucking
good. He unlocked a new variety of RKO. Like, has there ever been a flaming RKO before?
I don't think so.
No, it's a new one. We've now seen a new RKO.
But okay, so let's talk about the moments in that match. So Bray, the first time he goes on fire. Right. And by the way, I just want to mention this. The coolest thing about this match, which they have done before, they did that in the Kane Undertaker Inferno match or whatever it was called. But like anytime there was a slam, the fire would roar.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, come on. That's
and the debut
so sick.
Of the fire was like Kane-esque, so to say, you know, which was awesome because that made the Fiend like more scarier in my opinion. Like, oh shit, he's got powers, like crazy powers. Like, fucking awesome.
Yeah, no, it looked badass. But so that first time Bray, his back goes in the fire. Is that Bray Wyatt?
I think so.
I mean, I rewatched it. I don't see how it wasn't. Now, I know this was edited. I know this was edited, and we know, obviously, at the end, that's like a doll, right? We know that, whatever. I'm not saying that, but I'm talking about the first time when he backs up into the fire. He's mid-mandible claw, I believe, you know?
Yeah.
And it looks like it's just Bray, but like, there's nothing going on to protect his hair.
I'm going to say that's him. 100%, actually. Yeah. I think he's wanted that spot, and he was going to do it, and he figured out how to do it. He got the right people in place to teach him how to do it the proper way, because that's what Bray does. Like,
he was pretty on fire. I mean, I guess you can wear, like, kind of flame-retardant clothing, right? But he had his chest exposed, you know?
It was gel, though. There's, like...
Oh, that's probably, right?
Yeah.
Like he put right. He must have been like all right. I don't know. I know it was edited because it clearly had to been taped beforehand, you know?
Yeah.
But it looked amazing. And then when Randy lit him on fire at the end of the match, it was just like this. It's like, why Randy is so awesome is he has that moment of like, oh my God, what did I do? And by the way, he says, what did I do? His thought was like, I RKO'd this guy while he was on fire.
Yeah.
What a sick motherfucker I am. But then he switches and his IED kicks in. And then he goes to that place where he like starts. And like that's the cool, that's the nuance of the Randy character. It's so good, is that he's like, he has moments of humanity. But then you see it go where he's like, and then he can go from the place of like, wow, this is pretty fucking intense and scary, to I'm going to go get a canister of oil. I'm going to pour gasoline all over him and light him on fire and then walk out.
Yeah.
So did you guys have any problem with Bray being lit on fire?
No. No. How could
Absolutely
you?
Absolutely not.
How well, I was talking you? To I was talking to a buddy of mine. I don't think he would care if I said this take on the show, but I won't say his name anyway. Okay. But he was like, I feel like it's too far to like burn a man alive.
Okay. Watch Downton Abbey then. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, that's how I feel. I also feel like Bray is not like a guy, right? He's like a monster, right?
He's a fiend. He burned the fiend alive.
Right. I see what you're saying. If it was just like a shirtless John Cena or something, you know?
Right.
Then you're like, all right, wow, that's a little fucked up. But, even then, they're always kind of flirting with death, you know? So,
The difference between like Braun Strowman trying to drown him?
Yeah,
like drowning is, in my opinion, probably one of the worst ways to die. But
not as bad
as being lit on fire. Because I read that when what flavor
is that?
Oh, lime. Duh. This is my first LaCroix since I've been sick.
I read that if when somebody's body is on fire and they die because of that, their bones break because of how hard the body convulses in pain.
In a fire?
Yeah.
Oh,
your bones break from convulsing too hard.
I'm a thick boy down low. I'm
accurate. Isn't that fucked up?
Yeah, man,
that's going to fuck me up for a while.
Wow. Yeah. No one likes hearing that.
I don't want to go that way.
Okay. But yeah, I mean,
well, what
fucking
killed him?
Christ.
Was it the RKO or was it being burned alive? Because he looked pretty dead after the RKO. So,
well,
opinion,
that's the best part about wrestling, right? The RKO knocked him out
already.
For... Oh, you thought he's dead already? The RKO knocked him out for a while, for like, seemed to be like he was going to be down for an hour at least.
So that would actually, that would downgrade his like felony murder to probably just like improper disposal of a dead body.
Exactly.
Right?
Right.
Maybe
destroying evidence.
Yeah.
If we had to charge, if this is the grand jury for Orton, it would be like, it would probably be killing someone during the course of a match is probably just manslaughter, right?
Right. Involuntary.
Yeah, like, well, it wouldn't even be because
involuntary
in the scope of the sport, death is possible, right?
Yeah, that's got to be in the rider.
If someone got knocked out and died, that guy's not going to get arrested for manslaughter. So, I mean, if he gives an
sanctions,
RKO and the fiend is dead,
Then he's allowed to clean up the body, right?
Right.
Well, he has to call the proper authorities.
You can't just light the dead body.
No, no. I mean, that's what he would go to jail for.
What if? Yeah, well, because also Bray Wyatt is, we all know he's an organ donor, so he didn't really, he didn't abide by those wishes. Mm. Anyway, great fucking fun match. It's like my only thought is like I'm like, God, that should be on a Mania, right?
Right.
But you know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's kind of like gets buried in a. One thing WWE does that's really odd, and I've had this thought, especially after watching like AEW and NXT in 2020, which is like, why not? Would that match be better? The pay per view model is starting to be more and more dated. You know, mm-hmm. like. Wouldn't that be better off being the main event of a Raw, like the Infernum, and then you say for like 4 weeks build it as like the main event of a Raw, or you know what I'm saying, like or even like make these matches.
AEW does. AEW does that.
Right.
Like winter is coming.
Because like you had two, and we'll get into it, but you had like that pay per view was pretty good on its own. I don't think it even needed the fire match to be like a pay-per-view we all thought was pretty good time, you know? Mm-hmm. So you're like, how do you get more eyes on this shit? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think like just the pay-per-view model starts like hiding all their like good content. It's like if I'm WWE and you know you're going to have a match where you literally light people on fire like that, why not have like Randy Orton going on like Fox football Sunday being like, I think the Browns are going to win. Also, this Sunday, I'm going to be lighting a guy on fire. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's a good call.
I think, well, what it's a symptom of is that WWE, what we always talk about, right? They don't have, because they're doing things down to the wire, they don't plan things. All their cool moments are like by sheer luck. And then, so therefore they can't, and don't plan for these things to be big deals. It's like, oh shit, that went over. That was, and it's like, well, if you had any sense of like control over your product, you would be able to manufacture these things instead of just hoping they happen.
Right. So anyway, let's talk about more of the pay-per-view. I agree. I mean, it just feels like they're leaving money on the table. Like, I think that if you told the Wadowski test, if you were like, yo, Randy Orton's going to have a fire match and it's going to be, it's going to be like the main event of a Raw, right?
Well, they did like, so I guess the comparison that you can make to recently is they did eye for an eye match, right? Where someone was going to, the only way you win is if someone loses an eye. So
was that on Mania? I think that was that Mania?
SummerSlam?
No, I think it was Mania. No, because it was Rollins. SummerSlam. No, it must have been. No, so, I think SummerSlam was Dominic. It was Dominic versus Rollins.
Whatever it was. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Eye for an eye match. So burning someone alive match. Yeah. I mean, that's obviously a little bit more intriguing than, wait, someone's going to have to lose by losing an eye. I don't know. I don't think anything that WWE can do right now, honestly, would be that big of a draw. Where even if they were to say, we're going to do that on Raw, what's the real boost that they're going to get in the ratings?
You don't think Orton could go on Monday Night Football and be like, you know, man, Nick Mullins is certainly on fire. You know who else is on fire? Bray Wyatt this Sunday.
Yeah. I'm going to light that motherfucker up.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'll tell you what. I'm glad to be here. It's hot here in Miami watching the Dolphins. It's going to be hot. It's going to be hot this Sunday at the in the Firefly Inferno match. but, yo, here's the deal, though. Let's talk about the next thing that I think this is the second biggest story of the TLC week. Is the Miz seems to just drop his Money in the Bank briefcase for no reason. What was that about? I mean, what? Why? There's more and more unsuccessful cash-ins.
I think the last four or five by the men have been unsuccessful.
Now, do you think that part of this is Vince not liking that the case has such value? Because the case has been almost an automatic championship for a long time. And it's not that anymore, at least the men's case.
Yeah, no, right. I feel comfortable giving Vince credit for that. I do think that's the case. I think because I mean, like the man has no forethought, right? So like,
right.
But I do believe that he is like, people win too much with this thing. Let's scale that back.
Right.
The case is that the case has no value.
Right.
The case, I mean, the case has a ton of value, but the case.
Well, even the women's, because there's nothing even to really make the, honestly, the Money in the Bank briefcase has not been that interesting in recent memories, because even the women's was used in the default as a way to give Asuka the championship. So really, what have they done to make that case interesting? The year before, Brock won it and turned it into a boombox.
Yeah.
The boombox, I loved. But
are you speaking on the Brock party?
The Brock party. Yo, the turning it into a boombox was dope. The only problem with it was that he wasn't even in that match.
Yeah. Because he hung Sami Zayn upside down and took a spot, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I don't even know if there's that much to it, but Vince seems to be bored of the briefcase, it seems right. I think creatively he's bored of it. That's my conclusion, is that because he's fine tossing him. He's fine going into manias with no briefcases. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't see it as – I think the marks always love it. I think wrestling fans have the same love for the briefcase they've always had. It's like, let's just always have fun with this thing. But I do think creatively, he's not crazy about it. But that to take it off Otis, who feels like a perfect guy to just – not actually cash in, right?
Mm-hmm.
To give it to Miz. All you did was bury two guys, right? I'm not sure.
Well, there's also the loophole that they were saying on Raw is that Morrison cashed in and it wasn't actually the Miz. So they're trying to spin that the Miz actually, you might have fallen asleep during this part because it was very, very bad. But they're saying that the Miz.
I was distracted because Morrison looked like a Tom Cruise in Magnolia.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, like a little high pony, right?
I was a little distracted.
Yo, no, for sure.
Looking to seduce and destroy.
The Miz is like, you know, Omis comes out and says, oh, yeah, well, you know, fucking Morrison was the one who cashed in. It didn't even count. And then the Miz is like pacing back and forth like, oh, this is a good point.
I'm and a now big he's trying boy to down that. Low.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, that's where I like – that's my money spot for Miz is when he's, like, trying to find a way to scheme. He's always scheming. So if he could scheme his way to get the case back, all right, whatever. But it made no sense, though.
Truly no, not. I mean – wait, so you think that he's going to get it back?
I think so, yeah. I think
really?
So, yeah. Yeah,
oh,
yeah, yeah.
So I guess I missed it. I mean, I saw when they were talking about that, but I felt like it was a little –
it was so
like,
easy to miss anything.
Trump saying that him and Michael Flynn are doing a redo election in January.
Cool.
So,
I'll be there.
Oh, man. God, Trump, he is one of the greatest kayfabers.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's called, I don't know the actual like psychological term for it, but yeah. He's sort of just, you know, pulling us into his delusion. I think it's what
he's still the president, but he's cutting promos exclusively on Twitter now. he posted that video. It's got the presidential seal on it and its exclusive place is Twitter. You know what I mean? You're like, oh my God. He can't even, because he can't get, the networks won't even cover him anymore.
Right.
So he has to go right to Twitter. It's truly insane. He all of a sudden comes out against the stimulus bill.
Yeah.
Which he didn't have any part in working on. They've been working on this bill for like a month negotiating. His treasury secretary.
6 months.
And then he pops in. Well, they've been seriously negotiating to actually do it. And then he pops in and is like, they got to give more money. Like, he doesn't.
Yeah.
Anyway, guy's a clown. Yeah. So anyway, Drew retains, which we kind of all knew was going to happen in that match, you know.
Also, male wrestler of the year, Drew McIntyre.
A Slammy?
2020 Slammy, yeah. Voted on by the fans.
I mean. Is there any proof of that being not a kayfabe? Because, by the way, we are fans. Did you hear about where we vote for Slammies?
Yeah, they were advertising like voted. I don't know where directly the link took you to.
Look, I worked the polls at the Slammies, and there were
oh, you were a poll worker for the yep. Slammies?
Oh.
And like, look, they wouldn't let us within 6 feet.
Oh, there's controversy.
They wouldn't let us within 6 feet to watch the count. There were vans that were pulled up. They said they had food for everybody, right?
No, but
there wasn't enough food for everybody. So wow. Where do these vans come from? Why are there all these vans, right? Yeah. Because they're bringing in, think about it. They're bringing
yeah,
in
thinking about it, fake thinking about it.
Votes
right.
to
for McIntyre.
They're trying to get Drew McIntyre. Over more.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
It's right. It's right. It's because they, because, and who really won? Who really,
have,
who was really the superstar
that,
of the year?
Is this something you're just like.
What, I mean, my firsthand account.
Yeah, Newman.
Of,
who
of
was
what happened?
Oh,
yeah, but who was winner. Actual? Who is responsible? Like Newman, you said you're. Yeah. Who's the superstar? Who was actually the crowned winner, superstar
by
of the year?
By the fans, like who the people, the fans.
Yeah.
Fans actually voted for.
Because I would say that honestly, if the votes actually went through, what I would think is easy. Dana Brooke win.
Yeah, I mean, you'd be 100% correct. It was Dana Brooke.
But then Vince had to shoehorn it to make it.
Right.
To make it dramatic.
It was always going to be Drew. It was always going to be Drew. Look,
well, why would Dana win for male?
Because there was that many votes for her in the category of both.
Wow.
That
wow.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
People were just like, let's get the people love Dana.
All right, this makes sense. Do you
can I retweet
this somewhere? Do you have it on your Twitter?
Please,
or?
Please. Yeah, I actually am on Parler. I moved over to Parler now because
okay.
Twitter censors.
I'll download that. Right.
You know, like coherent thoughts. So.
But so. I didn't know the Slammies happened yet. I mean,
happened
you know.
Today at 10 a.m. on the network.
Oh, okay. I see they're going all out with them. Yeah, but anyway, so Drew keeps the title, which makes sense. I feel like they're riding out Drew till Mania. You know what I mean? He's a new. They're branding him a new star. They're making him the guy. They gave him that Stone Cold interview, which I watched. I actually turned it off. I got bored of it. Did anyone watch Drew's interview on Stone Cold?
Yeah, he feels really guarded, like he's trying to be like really super respectful, like business wise and
right.
locker room wise of Stone Cold Steve Austin. He doesn't feel loose at all. I don't know if he doesn't really have that much of a personality, but it was almost like watching like a job interview.
I have like, a theory.
What's the theory?
I think he's a mark, and
he was freaking out.
And he was freaking out because they did post. I think Stone Cold actually posted it. It was like how it's going. And how, like, where we're at now. And it was Drew in, like, a Stone Cold Steve Austin sleeping bag.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And yeah, now that. It's him and they're, like, on the thing together. So, honestly, I think he might have actually been a little uncomfortable and freaking out, like, Mark.
I haven't.
Stone Cold's not always around. So, I guess seeing him is once in a blue moon and he gets to.
I mean, it wasn't as good as the. The greatest Stone Cold interview of all time. No, but my theory is actually, yeah, you're saying he's a Mark. I think it's he's a mark, but I do think these guys are you know they're used to talking to Stone Cold and whatnot. I think it's a little more complicated. I think it's he's playing the role of WWE champion. Like you know they it was part of their conversation, which was it's kind of my beef with these conversations, which is like I'm okay with the fact that we want to like talk behind the scenes about like what it's like, you know, and that they're kind of like breaking kayfabe a little bit, but like we don't get enough good kayfabe, right. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like, you know what I mean? Like, you're almost like, I don't want something that's like, I want these guys, like I could use to see the character a little more as opposed to, like, still giving the same conversation he had after Mania, really. Yeah. Like, it's the same shit since Mania 36, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, you know, I was fired, and then that was – now I'm not fired, and now I'm back. And that's an awesome story, but, like, now he's already on top now. So, like, what does it mean to do this? And then also, I don't know, show a little more about the character. You know, like, Stone Cold's there – he's got his own beer he brewed. He's got more character even now. You know what I'm saying?
Amazing. It's so true.
Yeah.
Guy
so,
never quits.
Right. So, like, when Taker does it, it's all good because he's done. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I don't know. It feels like there's this, like, political vibe to the conversation that's like, here's what – the champion's supposed to say, and it's like It puts him, you know. I'd love to see what Reigns would do. Like, would you want to see Reigns talk to Stone Cold and not talk about being the head of the table?
No.
No, I would want full kayfabe.
Honestly, that's exactly what they should do right now, is put him on that show and have him beef with Stone Cold.
Yeah,
like,
see,
disrespect Stone Cold.
I like, think that we've now gotten to this zone where we're so used to breaking the fourth walls and kayfabe that they're actually forgetting the value of staying in character.
So true.
And that's why Talking Smack was so fucking fun. Like, when they had the original Talking Smack, those wrestlers, I don't know if it was directed or not, but, like, they would come in there in character, and then you would just get, like, Rosenberg or Renee just treating them like they're those characters showing up, you know?
Right.
And they're doing it now. There's been some really good clips that are coming off of that. That I that's what I, like, enjoy that WWE puts out, is they –
yeah.
Like, I'm not going to watch Talking Smack, but I will watch a three-minute clip of Kevin Owens saying some crazy stuff to Paul Heyman in character, you know, like,
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, I saw – no, I saw that stuff. That's good.
Yep. Big
no, I agree. But anyway, I still like McIntyre being the champion. Like, I love McIntyre. Yo, hot take. I don't know if he needs the wrist guards.
Those were, yeah.
Right? Because that's
like, so like Wonder Woman's coming out tomorrow on put something on your wrists. You
know? it's just like a little far for – like, I don't know, the kilt, it feels like you don't wear that, you know? The kilt is like, I wear that symbolic, it's believable. He would wear the kilt, and the sword is like an artifact. But then when you start wearing armor, it starts being like, all right, now what are you doing? It's a little too far for me, but it's minor.
I agree.
But anyway, Reigns versus Kevin Owens. I rewatched this match. This match was insane, actually.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy this match was... not the main event, because it had a lot of main event. It was main event caliber. I mean, KO beat the shit out of himself in this match.
Yeah, he really did.
It's, you know, what he does well. How did you guys feel about Jey Uso being involved so much in this match? Like, would the Reigns character want that?
No.
No, right?
No. Yeah, I mean, it was a little. I mean, I'm being extremely nitpicky, right? Because this is the Comedians of Wrestling podcast.
Yeah.
But
it's the Wrestling of Comedians. What did you call it?
It's the
Comedians of Podcast.
Comedians
of Podcast. Yeah.
It's still a better name. The it was a little overdone. A little overdone.
No one knows it's a wrestling podcast. Comedians of Podcast.
Yeah, that's really every podcast, I think. Comedians of Podcast.
Yeah. Well, you're saying it was a little.
It was a little. Yeah. If I nitpick. Which I will. It was a little overdone, him coming in so many times.
Yeah, well, I just feel like Reigns, I'm not saying he wouldn't take help or whatnot, but Reigns is like completely fine with him helping him out. And I felt like there's like more nuance to it. Like Reigns doesn't need help from Jey. I guess it makes you dislike him more, but I don't think any people were having trouble disliking him. Like, well, I think maybe one Jey interrupt would have been fine.
I think what they're trying to say, and it's helping Kevin Owens, is that they built it up that way up until that point, was that he's never going to stay down. You're going to have to kill him, you know? So like every time you beat him down, he's just going to keep getting back up. And that's what they started. That's how they ended off SmackDown. That was the last shot, was Kevin Owens crawling out from a pile of fucking chairs and ladders and tables and stuff. So in theory, it makes sense, but not really. I think they just went way one too many times, you know, but it also makes Kevin Owens comes. I mean, listen, we're going to have a steel cage match on Friday. Let's go. I mean, non-title steel cage match. You got to think Kevin Owens is going to win, right?
Right.
Cage keeps Jey out. That's the idea, you know?
That's pretty awesome.
If Kevin Owens is to win, and then we get a third like last man standing match at Royal Rumble or something,
is it for the title?
No, it's a non-title match. Right, so you got to think Kevin Owens is going to win, right? I mean, why would they make it a non-title match? And we also have an intercontinental lumberjack match between Big E and Sami Zayn. SmackDown's sick.
Yeah,
there's no denying SmackDown now. It's a very good show.
Yeah, I enjoy SmackDown. It's 2 weeks. It's 2 hours long. It's very nice.
I know what Newman's thinking.
Newman, what were you thinking?
Newman always just starts to smirk, like smirk on his face when I just keep marking out as much as I can, see how far I'm going to go with it.
Oh, you didn't know?
Charlotte is back.
Correct.
She won the tag titles with Asuka.
I have a thing to say about that.
You can say it.
I did say on the last podcast that if there's anyone who can make the tag titles relevant, it's Charlotte.
Yeah.
False.
Yeah, I told you that I disagreed with that comment when I was listening back to the pod. I was like, no one can make those titles.
There's only one thing I want to see, and it's Io Shirai and Rhea Ripley versus Asuka and Charlotte for those.
Yeah, I mean, that would be fun, but that'd be fun, but it's like the only thing that make the only thing that make the women's tag titles in WWE matter is if you had actual like women tag teams. You know what I mean? But also keep in mind that the tag division in for the men doesn't matter that much either.
Yeah.
You know, well,
that's why it has nothing to do with the women's tag team titles. Right. I mean, it's just tag team booking in general is never good with WWE.
Yeah. I mean, they never make you like care about those titles. Everything's always like a start and stop. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah. And then it feels like you're better off being just a random team than being an actual tag team. You know what I mean? You're better off just being Rollins and
Rude and Ziggler.
Right, right. Those guys,
Alexander and Shelton Benjamin.
Those guys are better at tag wrestling than actual tag teams. You know, yeah.
It's like the difference between like tag team wrestling and tag team wrestling.
Yes.
Yeah, we currently get tag team wrestling. We want tag team wrestling.
But I think they're just leading to, they may be like leading to an Asuka Charlotte feud. Is that kind of what they're probably going to?
I think so, yeah. They kind of went to that. They were about to talk about it. They got cut off. So
yeah, because she was like, oh, I want the title, right? Like Charlotte was trying to talk about the title. All right, that's cool. I kind of liked Nia and Shayna with the titles. I was kind of like, all right, this we could actually like, I don't know. I was kind of like, all right, we'll see what they do with this. But I knew they were going to drop them. And then, you know, is what it is. But Sasha beat Clean. She beat Carmella.
Yeah.
Which we knew that would happen. A lot of conversation about Sasha's gear.
Carmella's gear.
What was happening? I mean, no, because she wore the kind of that Britney Spears gear,
the nude.
But
which we thought was Showgirls, but turns out Britney Spears,
right. So I mean, I thought that, you know, that match was pretty good. I thought Carmella's gear was a big part of conversation. We're talking a lot about their gear in the CalZoom Thunderdome, which was a good time. Carmella's gear was awesome. She had on what I called the reverse three-quarter pants?
Yeah, the reverse capri pants.
The reverse capris. And, match was good. I don't really remember the match, but that's because it was one of the only matches that didn't have tables, ladders, or chairs, or fire. So, I mean, you can't fault them. You're not going to outdo the other matches when the other matches have heavy gimmickry. Here's a huge thing that jumping over to AEW for a second. So on Impact last night, Tony Khan did his like what he's doing is he's buying like ad time on Impact, in kayfabe. He's not really buying ad time, and he is responding because Kenny's going to be wrestling with the Good Brothers at what's it called like Hard to Kill, TNA or whatever it's called Impact. Pay-per-view, and they're going to be doing against Rich Swann and the Motor City Machine Guns. Is that what it is? Mm-hmm. And he likes that in every single – he put out this commercial, and on the same – I watched it on the same platform that the president exclusively broadcasts on now, Twitter. And so a couple of things to point out in this promo. The main crux of it is that he invited tonight – which we'll watch on AEW, he's invited Impact wrestlers to show up on AEW.
Sure did.
He gave permission for Kenny to wrestle on that pay-per-view. It looks like tonight we should see some Impact talent showing up on AEW,
correct,
which is pretty interesting. We'll get. Let's talk about that in a second. But let me make these other 2 points quick. A couple of things. This is really interesting. Tony Schiavone introduces Tony Khan in this promo clip as the only wrestling owner who's not a carny. He goes, the only wrestling owner that's not a carny. And Tony Khan is then also later in the promo calls out that he's worth $7
billion. $7
billion. I was like, if this is what Tony Khan's going to do, that's fucking awesome.
I'm all for it.
He's like, yo, Impact, it's fine. You want to have Kenny Omega? I'm not really like threatened by you guys. Tell your talent to come on over here. And you might have them like locked up in contracts, but he's like, $7 billion buys a lot of stuff. You know what I mean?
So good. I mean, like,
that's pretty awesome.
I'm legit blown away by those. Every time they pop up, they're just perfect. He's killing it. I'm so surprised because we haven't seen him in anywhere else. And the only place we're seeing him are on these promos that he's doing on TNA, which is like perfect, you know? Feels low budget, so it kind of goes with the theme of the show, right?
Yeah.
And he's just – I'm like, this guy went from never being one of my guys to, like, one of my guys, like, instantly. Instantly.
Well, what does it mean that he's the only wrestling owner who's not a carny? So does that mean because he has other stuff going on? Because he did mention – I guess I'm just getting caught up in the nuance of that. Is that he did mention, like, yo, I also own – he's like, he was mentioning other businesses he owns. He's like, he owns like a touring company. He's like, we represent like the Dead & Co. And he was naming all these bands where he like makes money on too.
Right.
You know what I mean? I guess.
I own Dead & Co. I own a company that sends little snacks to your office for your snack time breaks. a water cooler glass bottle manufacturing company.
I own the trust that my dad gave me. listen, man, Tony Khan's he's one of my idols. You guys know that. I told you, if they told me I'm an atheist, but if they were like, choose a god, I might choose Tony Khan. The guy literally, $1 billion, he's just buying up wrestlers, you know? It's unbelievable. It's just beautiful. But calling something the only non-carny, that's so funny.
It almost seems like an insult, doesn't it?
It's an insult to Vince, right?
Or almost like a dig. It's almost like a backward dig at Tony, where it's like, you're not part of this culture.
Right.
You know? I mean, I'm overthinking it, but it's like, it could almost be taken that way, where it's like, you know, he's the only one who's not part of this business, and he owns part of this business.
Right. I think he's trying to distance. He's kind of like, I do this, but this is like not the only shit I do, man. I'm not getting caught up in this carny lifestyle. You know what I mean? Right.
The carnies are the people who are going to eat Tony Khan when the revolution comes.
Small
Tony
hand.
Khan is not carny.
Hurt Business have the tag titles now, which I think is really cool. I can't believe they still have those shitty red titles. Like, it's about time for some new tag titles.
Maybe that's what MVP does. He changed the U.S. title. Maybe
that's
he changed
true.
The tag titles. That would be sick. I would love some
made them luxurious.
Titles. Yeah. Goldie.
So who are the tag champ? Is it Sheldon and Cedric?
Who's like on fire, man. This guy can really cut a good
Someone
promo.
Told me Cedric's in his 40s.
No, Cedric's the only guy not in his 40s. Bobby, Shelty, and MVP.
Shelton Benjamin is 45, but Shelton Benjamin is so jacked still.
Yeah. 45, good for him.
That guy can't cut.
He was Lesnar's college roommate. Did you know that? I'm not kidding.
A lot of beef in that room.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why remember they had that spot at the Rumble?
Oh, right, yeah.
And it's like, oh, what's up, my bro? Yeah, and then he threw him out.
Tosses him out.
Well, so anyway, let's talk about the Rumble for a second. What is this Rumble? This Rumble, I mean, so they're talking about having fans at the Rumble, right? Did you hear that? Yeah, they're talking about having fans at the Rumble. You could do it. You know, at Florida, if technically in Florida, I believe you can just have a
full stadium,
like, full like in the Buccaneer, if they want to have Mania at the full stadium, I think they could do it.
That's ridiculous. That's so fucking.
I don't know.
As someone who currently has COVID, I'm not putting myself in any kind of danger to get this shit again. I don't want this again. You know? Right? I mean, that feels about right, right? That they would try to have.
This is a pretty big month of wrestling coming up. Like the road to right. A lot of stuff. We got Wrestling Kingdom, like in the middle of it.
Wrestling Kingdom.
Wrestling Kingdom?
Yeah, Wrestle Kingdom.
I was just watching on New Japan. Their Instagram got a little bit better. I was watching Naito versus what? Yeah, well they posted a full match. I watched Naito versus
Ibushi.
You know, and I was like, oh, cool. If I could do it like this, like just let me I watched the whole thing. It was amazing to watch the Japanese fans just stay in their fucking seat with masks on. You know what I mean? Like they're over there, it's full. But everyone like wears the mask. They all like take it real seriously, you know. Mm-hmm. So what matches are already scheduled for Wrestle Kingdom? It's normally around like January 4th or something, right? Do we know what day it is?
5th and 6th.
I have a great drop from Don Callis about Ibushi. Let me see if you can hear it.
Okay.
Oh no, wait.
It's coming. I love comic books. I love comic books.
My God,
Ibushi's
away. Wait. There's a second part to it.
Listen. Yeah. Yo, Don Callis is so deeply one of my guys. The guy is like perfect wrestling trash. He's exactly what is missing at every announce table. Like every announce table is missing someone with an agenda. Like someone. That's what I'm talking about. How there's not enough kayfabe. You know, like. There's not like the announce table is the biggest culprit of not enough kayfabe because people think that Cody Graves has some sort of kayfabe because he has tattoos, but he's right. And but his only gimmick is that he swoons for Alexa Bliss, right? Like that was it.
I mean, anything.
And
really.
Mandy Rose.
And Mandy Rose, like that's kind of like that's
and
it.
Carmella.
Like, don't you want one of these guys to be like a? Like, you know, I told you about this, like a sailor or something. Like, it's more fun if they, like Don Callis there with the rose-colored glasses just being, maybe I'll talk to her at the bar after. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you want someone who's like, oh, he's a slime. Right? Like, the best announced team ever was the King and JR, right? And, like, one guy's...
Yeah, but you go back and you watch that, and it's so cringy.
I'm not saying it's going to hold up, but... You still had Bagad, right? It would still be like he's broken in half. Like they had things they said that like really.
Well, I mean, I'm more talking about King, with all the puppies and
the puppies,
yelling and it's just like
puppies.
the
puppies is the puppies is not their finest moment, but I did love the puppies when I was 15 and I was watching Raw. We can't find a 2020 version of puppies. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think so. I don't think that exists.
Anyway, it's fine. Newman, I want to hear about – you texted me about NXT.
Yeah.
And I do want to talk about NXT for a second because I do want to talk about Karrion Kross for a minute because I just think we need to address how bad of a wrestler this guy is.
Yeah.
But I want to hear your take.
I texted you about Johnny Garbanzo and his crew. And
Johnny Garbanzo beans?
Johnny Garbanzo
having a
beans.
Christmas spectacular or something tonight.
Look, man, this whole like the way and like this is the way Mandalorian reference is not the way. It is so fucking
it's
cringy.
It's the wrong way.
It's so cringy and like they are just, I mean, from his cosplay shit, all of that stuff, he's incapable of like an original idea. And it's just like in true wrestling fashion, in true WWE fashion, they're going to decide to like now reference a show that is like 2 years old. And it's just so, it's so lazy. I hate it. I hate it so much.
No, I mean, you're right. Like he literally just put out a shirt the way it looks like it's Mandalorian font.
Like
this guy, God damn it. You're like, He is the epitome of what I'm talking about with cosplay, and I can't believe anyone argues against me, and it does happen, where I'm like, Johnny Gargano is, like, not even trying to do anything original. He is completely comfortable being derivative. Like you're like, you are a wrestler. You've worked yourself into this amazing place. He's a great in-ring talent. Like, he puts on some fucking killer matches, you know?
Right.
But has no interest in creating an actual character for himself that isn't just a copy of something else. It's insane.
And when he does, it's Johnny Wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, of course you are. Of course you're Johnny. You're a wrestler. Of course you're Johnny Wrestling. Let's go half a step farther and like A to C something, and let's get some ideas flowing, not just pick whatever's on fucking Disney Plus, you dork.
Yeah. Like, so, I mean, yeah, yeah. I mean, first off, they have
a
work.
It's going to be a Balto like themed fucking team on his hands.
I mean, listen, I hate it. The cosplay, like, when he comes out dressed like a character from something every time. I couldn't hate it more. I just can't believe Triple H is fine with his original show. And he's like Gargano's a major part of it. And he feels like this is good. Because Triple H was not like, I guess he's done some stuff like that before. I don't know. I guess I'm very confused by it. And then go.
Okay, and give it time. Give it time. If this goes long enough to the point where there's like a pay-per-view or like a takeover or something, they will 100% come out in like Mandalorian-style armor.
Oh, yeah.
100%. Candace
will be dressed as Baby Yoda.
And I will wake my neighbors up punching my TV so hard.
Right.
Repeatedly.
It's crazy, man. Yeah, he's definitely going to have Mando.
Oh, like, my God. He's going to wear some best car.
Yeah, he's just 100%. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. That is so fucking lame.
Yeah.
Like, we'll say this, though. I'm excited about Rhea Ripley and Dakota Kai tonight.
Are they wrestling each other?
Yes.
Okay, I was just saying maybe they were going to do something else. I have no idea. Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Reel that one back.
Yeah. That got sloppy. Are they gonna? They're banging on it. They're gonna bang on NXT tonight. They're wrestling. Yes, I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, they never got a call back for their audition either.
Oh, I think that was off air.
Which is a callback.
It's a callback from a joke that was off air, I think. Yeah. But I totally agree. Now, Karrion Kross, I watched this match. His match last week. I mean, this guy is he can barely move. The guy, I think.
Yeah.
Like, he is the worst example of a Brock-like character. Forget about, I've already shit a lot on that he says TikTok, which I think is terrible, and the whole, like, Doomsday, Judgment Day-like thing is also an example of, like, more kind of, like, why NXT is, like, kind of lame. Like, all that stuff is all, like, the same. Like, Lance Archer, no, Damian Priest. Damian Priest
happens every fucking time.
Damian Priest, Karrion Kross, and Ciampa to me are all like doomsday preppers,
right?
Or whatever, you know what I mean? They're all like so. You have like and Ember Moon, right?
Yeah, also doomsday.
So you got like 85 of them. Like,
their prep for the doomsday is I'm going to be right now the like my idealized version of who I'll be in the wasteland. That's the how they prep. They prep for that part.
They prep
not the supplies. They don't get supplies. They don't have like a bunker. They don't have water. They just play. I'm going to be who I would be then. Now,
right? See, the thing I didn't know about Rhea Ripley, like Rhea Ripley, I saw an interview with her, and like, kind of like what she wears is very much like who she is.
Yeah.
She, you know, and she like I read a thing said she wanted to be more tatted up, but like they won't approve her to have more tattoos.
What?
You know that? She wants to tat all her like arms and
fuck
everything.
Fuck them. Fuck
her legs are very tattooed up, but they won't approve her.
That's bullshit.
Yeah. In WWE, you have to get tattoo approval. You know that?
So they can sign somebody like Shotzi and who has like a million tattoos and then, but they can't let.
If you have them already, there's nothing they could do about it. You know. She didn't get approved to get more tats, so she wants to tat her upper body up. So anyway, she like loves tattoos, and I felt kind of bad for her. I was like, all right, just go do it. They're not gonna fire you.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Anyway, so Randy Orton's allowed to have full skull sleeves. Anyway, I'm just saying it's like there's like a lot of lameness going on NXT, the show. And I'm not even sure what the fix is over there. But you got an Archer, you got the Damian Priest is the Archer, then you got the Ride, which is Ember Moon is like she's got the cycle. Get the whole battalion, you know. You got Ciampa's got the mask, so he's I don't know what he's doing, but he's got the mask. Whatever. I'm trying to make the doomsday thing. I'm too sick for this joke.
Honestly, that would be oh wow. Look who,
hey, Dad, I heard you didn't like my TikTok.
Oh my God, it's Karrion Kross is here. Oh my God, I'm sorry. I got to be honest. I don't have your music.
That's okay. I don't care. I don't give a shit about that. I heard you were talking shit on me saying TikTok. Heard you don't like when I say TikTok.
Wow. No, dude. I got to be honest. Like, sheesh. I don't love when you say TikTok. I can tell you why. Are you interested in why? Or
yeah, I'll hear you out. I'm a reasonable guy. I'll hear you out.
Okay. Well, part of the thing is that TikTok is a very popular app, social media app, and so. When I think that you're not going to be able to kind of break through that and have TikTok be more popular the way you say it. So I think people are going to think about TikTok, the app, when they say that. When you say it. So it sounds like you're like, it sounds more like you're saying TikTok like your time is up, but it sounds more like you could follow me on TikTok. That's more what I'm hearing.
Okay. Well, okay. Fine. I hear what you're saying. And in the spirit of debate, I got some other ideas that I'm gonna run by you. But I'll tell you right now, based on what you said so far, you're not going to like them.
Okay. All right. Well, at least you know that. I don't really like that much going on NXT creatively, so I think I'm kind of used to that, if that makes
sense. Okay. Yeah, I'm not here to talk about those other jabronis. All right? Okay. So look, when you're in the ring with Karrion Kross, that space belongs to me. All right? That's Karrion Kross's space. And so when you're there with me in the ring, you are in my space.
Okay. All right. So, Karrion, can I say something?
Sure.
Yeah. So, like, MySpace is also another. It's maybe like the original. I guess Friendster was like maybe the first one, but social media platform. You know.
Yeah.
So I think that again, you're going into the well of social media. So MySpace, people are going to think of MySpace. You remember MySpace Tom?
Yeah, of course I do. Yeah, he was in my top eight.
Yeah, well, I don't think you were. I think he had to be. I think he was in everybody's top eight. I don't think that's scary. Aren't you trying to be scary?
I am scary. Look at me. Look at my tattoos.
Those tattoos are not scary, man.
They're scary.
You remind me of Tulo. Okay.
Wow.
His tattoos don't scare me.
Wow.
Mickey Mouse tattoos. But here's the deal. So, just don't say you're in my space.
But it's my space, though. You get it? It's like I own that space. It's my space.
No, I get it. I just think that you're not going to be able to break through that branding of MySpace.
Yeah. All right. Fine. I got some other things. All right. Look. Okay, I'm thinking about maybe changing up, not changing the gimmick, but adding like a little thing to it, right? Where I have a book, right? Okay. I keep this book on me, and everybody that I defeat,
I know where this is going.
I draw their faces in that book, and it's my Facebook. And it's like Karrion Kross's Facebook.
Listen, you guess
what? You can't what?
You guess the problem with that. You take a guess.
I'm not an artist. Like, that's Dexter Lumis. Like,
no,
the drawings of the faces would like kind of be something that he does.
No, do you know what Facebook is?
I mean, it's where I get most of my news. So yeah.
Yeah, I had a feeling that was true. So I'm thinking about
you can't trust the media is the thing, so you know.
Listen, I'm dying. Okay, Facebook. No, I'm thinking about Facebook, the website Facebook. So I'm not. You're not going to be able to break through that branding and make your own Facebook. I will say this though: if you did actually cut out people's faces and put it in a book, maybe that visual will be strong enough where I would get creeped out. You know.
All right. All right. I'll keep it on the list.
You have more?
I got one more. So it's like, okay, so picture this, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. There's
a bird.
I write down, no, it's not Twitter. Okay, that's the other place. The other place I get most of my news, so I know.
Yeah.
All right. So picture this. It's a book, still a book, but I write my thoughts down in it in like real time. Mm. And it's like a live journal that I have. Mm. And I keep this live journal. And then that's my gimmick. I have a live journal.
Okay, I have no problem with
that's
that.
It's kind of like...
I don't know what that is. Do you know what that... That sounds good to me. You have a live journal. It doesn't sound menacing at all, but you have a live journal?
See, I knew you were full of shit. Live Journal is a social media site from 1999.
I'm fine with you using Live Journal. I don't know how you're going to get that over. It doesn't sound good, but...
I probably won't. I mean, you've seen everything else I do.
Maybe like... You defeat your opponents, you Pinterest them. Is that something like that could work for you possibly?
Oh, what do you think about that?
I'm interested in pinning you. You're my Pinterest. Yeah.
Pinterest is actually not bad for you, bro.
Like that? How about that?
You're going on like a social media thing
or anything. It's like
it very much is. It is, but you're already a pretty lame wrestler. So why not just go Pinterest?
All right, I'm just gonna rifle through a couple more of these. Take a little book out of or page out of Randy Orton's book. I set my opponents on fire like Tinder.
Right.
I have
swipe
left. Yeah, swipe. Oh, that's great. I love that.
Swipe left.
We also got I have a book club. And all the books I've read already. So like, I'm like, oh, I read it. I read that already. I read it. You name a book, I read it. That's all I got so far.
That's Reddit. Okay. Now I'm just even confused by it. I thought you were going to do maybe like movies, like Letterboxd. Letterboxd.
Everything's a joke with you. Huh?
Yeah. Everything is a joke with me. How about you work on that in-ring wrestling? I mean, you're a little slow to the take, bro. I mean, it sounds like you had a guy in the corner. You went to go give him a clothesline. I mean, could you have moved any slower? What's up with that?
What kind of question is that? Could I have moved slower? Of course I could move slower. This is my top speed.
Okay. Well, anyway, Karrion Kross, thanks for stopping by, man.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. I'll see you on the live journal.
Yeah, man. Wow.
I mean, the Pinterest one was good.
Yeah, I thought that was...
I'm interested in pinning you. I thought that would have been good. Yeah. Anyway, well, I think that's a good place to move on. But I think I'm actually going to, dudes, good talk about this week in pro wrestling.
Didn't I win the prediction thread?
Oh, yeah. Congratulations.
I mean, you did win the prediction thread. Yeah. Congratulations. You won
because
I believe
you picked Randy and I picked Fiend.
Yeah. That's congratulations to you. All right. I got to go tell people I got COVID. So that's fun. Everybody, I'm going to throw to my interview with Adam Letterman discussing the cow title situation and if Jason Shapiro's win is legal and what kind of recourses I might have there based on the titles, anything. I don't know. Wow, he is a lawyer. So, we'll hit that. So I'll throw to that. And then besides that, though, hey, everybody.
Yo.
Keep watching wrestling. No? Kisses?
Yeah.
Okay. Bye. All right. I'm here with former cow champion official lawyer of the Cow Podcast, which you guys know if you've listened to this podcast for a long time, that he and I had a past involving the cow title. and we came out stronger on the other end of it. Had more, you know, problems along the way, but he still remains the general counsel of the Cal Podcast, Mr. Adam Letterman.
Wow, it's good to be back. Yeah, listen, we've had our ups and downs, but always here for the Cal Universe, always general counsel of the pod, and always have helped out some listeners in the past, part of the community, you know, trying to be helpful where I can.
Yeah, I mean, you, if you remember, because like after Calmania won, you did tell everyone that you would be do pro bono work for Cal as part of your kind of change of heart. And then I wasn't sure where you stood after some of the antics leading up to Calmania 2, which never really went down, but you know.
That wasn't personal, though. I told you then that was business. I thought you made a poor decision in who got the title shot, and I just felt like I need to step up for the community.
Hassan?
In Hassan, yeah, that was never personal. The first Calmania 1 was very personal. Calmania 2 was, well, that was business.
All right, that's fair. That's fair. And speaking of business, is look, I know you've reviewed the footage. You've seen what happened with Jason Shapiro. The current Cal champion claiming to be. I just wanted to speak to you because you created, you forged the Cal Money in the Bank briefcase.
Sure.
And you handed it to Nick Tulo at WrestleMania 35 in the at the tailgate, at the Cal tailgate.
Yeah, secret. That was a, you know, that was a secret sort of failsafe, you know, a safeguard for what could have happened, you know, for what happened that night. So.
Right. Right, and you created the briefcase, as a way to protect it from, you know, at the time it was me, but ultimately you mean from just one person having too much power over such a special.
Right, right.
Title.
And listen, I think it was the day before or the day of Calmania 1. You know, listen, I was confident going in, but you know, just in case. Right. Just in case I lost, that which obviously it turned out I did, just to make sure that there was no, you know, supreme ruler of the Cal Universe and that someone who loves the universe as much as anyone in Tulo was there to protect it. And that was sort of the selection process. Now, you know, I wouldn't call this a mistake, but I would say I certainly never anticipated, you know, Nick Tulo was not a man with many enemies. And I certainly never anticipated someone stealing the money in the bank briefcase from him. So, so when you talk about the legitimacy of Sheb's cash in and now his championship, you know, so yeah. First of all, you have to break it down two ways. What Sheb's did moral, right? Which we can debate, and we can save that, right? So let's move on. You have me here for the legal stuff.
Yeah, we want the legality of it. Like, is the briefcase transferable like that? You know what I mean?
Right. Okay. So that's the other aspect, right? The legal part. Now, you have to separate. The briefcase from the contract that's in the briefcase, right? So we talk about the briefcase like the briefcase is what has the power, right?
Right.
But really, the briefcase is holding a contract, right? That's what gives the briefcase power. So, or you know, power over the ability to cash in.
Right.
So we talk about the briefcase. So what we're really talking about is the contract, right?
Right?
So when the contract was drawn, it was drawn as what's called a bearer contract or a bearer instrument. And what that means is that the person or the entity who holds the document has the ownership of the document and the rights to the underlying property and rights. So what happens in a bearer document, like a bearer bond, whoever physically holds the bearer document is assumed to be the owner of the document and thus has the rights arising therefrom, right? The rights arising from the contract. And so, unfortunately, the contract wasn't made with Tulo's name on it. It was the contract was made, the bearer of this contract has the, because at the time it wasn't necessarily Nick Tulo, right? I mean, you know, the decision to for the Money in the Bank contract was made prior to Calmania, and the briefcase was handed to Nick after during the tailgate at WrestleMania.
So you purposely made it open ended in that way so that you could choose the rightful person kind of impulsively, or?
Well, it wasn't, I wouldn't say it was impulsive. I think I was leaning too low the whole way, but right. you know, his showing at the tailgate, I don't know if I'd call that impulsive. I mean, he was, champion level, participant there. And I guess I never, Nick at the time seemed like a very safe play, right? He's not a guy, I said before, he's not a guy with a lot of enemies, guy with a lot of love for the Cal universe. No one's ever questioned that, right? No. I know you and him have had it out, but over things going on in wrestling, not, right. you know, not each other. And
no, he's always done anyone, right by me, you know?
Yeah. And so giving it to him, he's out in Long Island. There's not, you know, I would have thought he would have been protected, frankly. But technically, legally speaking, as the bearer of the briefcase, Shebs had the right to exercise that contract and cash it in for a title shot. And I've seen the video. I mean, I know he surprised you and attacked you. But as long as I wasn't in California, but it looks as though that was a legal cash in. So accepting that he had now accepting the fact that he bore the contract and bore the briefcase, if it was a legal cash in on his end, that's a legal cash in.
Now, is it, is it, this is just another element of it. It might not even be pertinent, but his referee was his Uber driver. Is it fair game to, and I see he was wearing stripes. He was wearing a Barcelona jersey and there were stripes. So what is, was the referee who called the count valid?
Well, I think wrestling has a long history of having completely random referees put on stripes and call secret sneak referees right. that pop up out of nowhere. So, listen, if he's wearing stripes and he's making the count, you know, to me, I see nothing wrong with that. I mean, again, now we have to go back to the moral, sort of the moral decision of your best friend attacking Nick Tulo and then attacking you.
Right.
But from a legal perspective, guys wearing stripes counting to three, that's a pin.
Okay. I mean, I think that's it, man. I mean, I think there's nothing. So you are deeming, not morally, but you are deeming, that's a question for another time, but you are deeming Chev's championship win as legal and it's fair to refer to him as the champion, correct?
Yes, no question. And listen, I reviewed the copy of the contract that I kept because any legal loophole that I could try to exploit to so that you go back to Hawaii and take the strap right off of Chev's waist. I was looking for those loopholes, but the truth is I made the contract ironclad from the beginning. So that no champion could ever challenge the legality of the contract for the holder of the contract. So, you know, unfortunately it backplayed, backfired. And, but from a legal perspective, I've looked at the ins and outs of the contract itself. And that was illegal. You know, he was the bearer of that contract and thus assumes the rights of the contract.
Wow. All right. Well, Adam, thank you for coming on the pod.
Yeah, man, anytime. I'm sorry that it went, that it shook out this way.
Hey, man, I haven't really fully processed it. I'm dealing with a lot right now, as the people know. So I just think, it's just, just about getting, doing my due diligence here because we've never had a cash in before. Just letting the people know. Well, congratulations to Jason Shapiro on being the Cal champion.
I guess.
Hey, you know, people do what they want. I'll deal with him at a later date when it's safe to go to Hawaii, maybe, you know? I don't know.
It's incredible. Listen, the Cal Championship has now had a lineage. I mean, it's got history.
Yeah.
And we'll see what the Shapiro Championship legacy looks like.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's already holed up in Hawaii, surrounded by, in some kind of remote island out there and – saying, oh, come at me, but Hawaii's actually pretty hard to get into, and I don't think they're going to let me in right now. So, acted tough, but nothing about what he did was that tough, really. So,
not really. I saw it. I mean, you know, it takes a tough guy. It's like being a social media tough guy, right? When you're when you're 9 hour flight or an 8 hour flight away, surrounded by locals, and you can barely get there, let alone bring a stable with you.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? You know, you can't trust what's going on over there.
No. Anyway, Letterman, we'll talk at a further date, but thank you so much for coming on the pod. And
yeah, man, happy to jump on.
Congrats to Shebs, I guess. And hey, everybody, keep watching wrestling.
Kiss. Yeah, man, cheers up.
Comedians of Wrestling. I listen on Thursday when I go to work.